Go ahead and grab your Bibles. Turn with me, if you will, turn over to 2 Samuel, chapter 23. Yes, sir. Lord has just kind of laid this on my heart. We live in a society today that just openly opposes God. It attacks masculinity. Has a skewed version of what courage really is. We breed, it's bred into the men to kneel instead of to stand and take a stand. And I just see this stuff. The Bible word would be, it vexes me. I see it. And there's such a, I was telling Pastor earlier, such a gap of, when I was younger, I looked forward to going outside playing. I found a stick. It could be anything that I wanted it to be. And then I see young people today, it's almost a chore to go outside. They'd rather stay and play their games. And they're not being taught, I see some of these, I see some of these kids, they don't even walk, like a man. They don't, it's just everything about them. You can see the feminine influences in their life. There's a lot about toxic masculinity that we hear about, but I was telling Pastor earlier, I think that toxicness is the lack of true masculinity, and we see it in the homes. The dad is elsewhere. We have kids being raised without fathers, and exactly. And Satan is attacking the home, especially the man, because God had him a place for him to lead. And I just see this, and I was reading 2 Samuel, and that's where I want to start. I will tell you, just to let you know, there are a lot of names here, so just forgive me, bear with me as we go through here. But I want to read about David's mighty men. And so, 2 Samuel 23, starting in verse 8, says, "These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains, the same was Adino, the Eznite. He lift up his spear against 800, whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David. When they defied the Philistines, they were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. And after him was Shema, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it, and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. And three of the 30 chief went down, and came to David in the harvest time, unto the cave of Adullam, and the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in an hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed, and said, Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men brake through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. And Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief among the three, and he lifted up his spear against 300 and slew them and had the name among the three. Was he not more honorable of three? Therefore he was their captain, howbeit he attained not unto the first three. And Benaiah, the son of Jehodiah, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in time of snow. And he slew an Egyptian, a goodly man. And the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but he went down to him with a staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. These things did Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, and had the name among the three mighty men. He was more honorable than the 30, but he attained not to the first three, and David set him over his guard. Asahel, the brother of Joab, was one of 30. Elhanan, the son of Dodo of Bethlehem, Shema the Herodite, Elikah the Herodite, Helez the Paltite, Ira the son of Ikesh the Tekoite, Abiezer the Anethoite, Mabunai the Hushathite, Zalman the Ahoite, Mahiri the Nedophathite, Helab the son of Benaha, a Netophathite, Ithai the son of Ribai, out of Gibeah, the children of Benjamin, Benaiah the Perathite, Hadiah of the brooks of Gaash, Abialbon the Arbathite, Asmaveth the Barhumite, Eliaba the Shelaboite of the sons of Jashan, Jonathan, Shema the Hararite, Ahiam the son of Sharer the Hararite, Eliphelet the son of Ahazbi the son of Maacathite, Eliam the son of Eliphtophel the Gilonite, Hezrei the Carmelite, Phari the Arbite, Igal the son of Nathan of Zobah, Benai the Gadite, Zelek the Ammonite, Naharai the Berothite, armor bearer to Joab the son of Zariah, and then Ira and Itharite, Garab and Itharite, Uriah the Hittite, 30 and 7 in all. And as I read through just this account, first off, I was like, you know, because I like watching manly stuff, and I think about these conquests that they went through, and there are several things that really stood out that I think we need to take notice of. I guess what the Lord laid on my heart is I want to draw an application and a parallel of these men's lives and actions and compare them, I guess, to yours and mine. But one thing that I saw that really stuck out to me is these men overcame great odds. Mm-hmm. I think about, it said, Adino, he killed 800 men at one time. That's a lot. I once I get to heaven, I want to be like, let's put this, I want to watch this, I want to see how that happened. Great odds. I think of Abishai, he slew 300 men with his spear. And it didn't say a spear, it said his spear. And it made me think, you know, maybe this was something that had been passed down generation to generation. And I was thinking, you know, that's something that we lack is, you know, the older generations haven't been telling the younger generations, hey, the Lord is mighty, you know, the Lord is powerful. And so they overcome great odds. And we know through Christ, we overcome great odds. God overcame death, hell, the world. And the Bible says that we were overcomers through Christ. Another thing I noticed as I was reading through here, many of these men stood when others retreated. That's something we lack. You know, I want to say his name was the quarterback, Drew Brees. You know, he was supposedly a Christian, and then he got a lot of pressure put on him, and so he started wearing Jacob Blake on his outfit. Jacob Blake is a rapist. But they fold, they retreat, and if he would have just stood, you know, and I just see this kind of stuff, and the world pressures, but Shema said he stood for a field of lentils. You know, we could think, man, they're just beans, let it go. But no, I really think he thought, you know what, people have sacrificed, the Lord gave us this land to feed our people. I'm standing. And I'm like, whew, you know, just to stand out there and take them on. And these Philistines, they were dressed. They were ready for war. They were armored up, you know, and he takes them on. I just think, whew, you know, this just lights me up. I'm like, he stood when others retreated. I want it to be in our life when things come that we just stand and just take a stand on what we know is right, what the Bible says. I see they endured exhaustion and sacrifice. The Bible says Eleazar smote so many Philistines that his hand, it was weary, it clave to the sword. That's probably not a healthy thing for your hand to do. But, you know, the Lord gave him that strength. And a lot of times, I know we probably feel exhausted fighting for what's right. But we also know the Lord we were talking about today, he's our comforter. He also gives rest and we can just trust in him. And I see that in these men. I see three of them that we see here. They went above the call of duty. Right. You know, David is in hiding, even though he's been anointed king. No one recognizes him yet. And he's sitting there reminiscing, oh, the water and the well of Bethlehem. I sure could go for a cup of water. And these three men took it upon themselves to go against the city that's barricaded. It said it's a garrison, so it's a fort. Right. And then there's men in the city, and they said, you know what? Let's go get the king a drink. And they bust through the gates. You know, I can't help but think that the well is like in the center of town, and they're running, you know, charging. They got their shields up, and people are shooting at them with arrows. And maybe two of them are holding up a shield, and the other one's dropping the bucket into the water and then pulling it up. And then they get out of there unscathed, bring it to David. And what's he do? The Bible says just pours it out. And at first read, you'd be thinking, oh, David, we went into the city. I mean, whoa, you know, we got the water and you poured it out. But David, he saw it. It was so precious.
Right.
He poured it out as an offering to the Lord.
Man.
Sometimes it may think that all the work and the labor that we do goes unnoticed. But God has taken count.
Amen.
I read this chapter. I think, you know, you give us all these awesome stories. And then these last couple guys, we just read their names. It was important enough for God to put it in the Bible.
Amen.
And it's so hard. I know sometimes I look at my life and I think, have I been noticed? You know, I look around and it's like, I'm not supposed to be noticed by any of you. I want God to notice me.
Right.
And he does. He has it written down. So, they went above the call of duty. They went on the offense. Benaiah, this guy, we see him there in verse 20. It says that he's done many acts. If you kind of read into him, he's mentioned several times in the Bible. And the first thing I saw, he kills two lion-like men of Moab. I kind of feel like, first off, physically, they probably looked a little bit like lion. I just imagine these two big, hairy guys. And then lions are ferocious. I think maybe their fighting style. They were victorious type, ferocious fighters. And there's two of them, and he kills them. Moab were very, they were closely related to Israel. We know that Moab was the son of Lot from his daughter, and Lot was a nephew to Abraham. And so there's a struggle that the Moabites and the Israelites have. And to me, it likens it to the flesh. We are constantly at war with the flesh. But through Christ, we're able to fight against that. I see here also that he goes down and he kills a lion in the midst of a pit on top of in a time of snow. You know, I'd like to study that more. Well, you know, it was important enough for God to put in the Bible.
Right.
But in a time of snow, I know sometimes when it's freezing, I don't, you know, maneuver as well. And so I think that adds to the feat here. But obviously, 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour.
Right.
And here he goes, you know, he goes down into the pit and he kills this lion. The Bible says in James 4, verse 7, you know, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And so God has given us, gives us, I guess, a battle strategy to resist Satan. But then it also, he goes and he kills this Egyptian. Again, it says he went down. And as I was reading this, it said that he had a spear like a weaver's beam. And it got me thinking, who else had a weaver's beam? Goliath. And then it talks about the cubits, how tall he was. And we'll read that here in another passage. But this Egyptian was like 7.5 foot. He was an Egyptian giant. And we know in the Bible, Egyptians or Egypt is a picture of the world. And so I think here we have, he fought against the flesh, he fought against Satan, he fought against the world, and he came out victorious because his faith was in Jesus Christ. And sometimes I look at these guys and it's easy to think, ah, we can't be like them. These guys are superheroes. Well, that's false. The same God that they served, we serve today. We can be like them. I look and I see their origins. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Samuel chapter 22. If you like superheroes, you got to know the origin story, right? Got to know what gave them their superpowers. And we know Jesus Christ is our superpower. But these men, 1 Samuel chapter 22, starting in verse 1, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. You know, one thing I had to preface, I should have prefaced, I'm not going, it's been so ingrained into my mind about having an outline and all this stuff, and Pastor and I have been kind of talking, and so I don't have an outline, but then I saw this, and I was like, sometimes the Bible just outlines itself. You got three D's here, debt, distress, discontented. Before we met Christ, that's what we were. We were in debt. We were discontented. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's a very familiar passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We do know that David is a type of Christ in the Bible. And these men came to him in this state. And if you just kind of read through the Bible, you see the transition that they make. You know, we know that they overcome great odds, but that was, they overcame those great odds by faith. I'm going to turn here and read 1 John chapter 5 to you. 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? You know, they stood just like we are commanded to stand. This was our verse here, men. So turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. This is kind of one of my first meetings here with you all. This is the verse that we were going over. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. Act like men. You know, Hebrews 11, we read about all these great acts, and it all started by faith. Right. And if we want to be mighty men like David's men, it's got to be by faith. Before we can ever be victorious, we need to know Jesus Christ and have faith in him. They also, they loved David. as we saw. And, you know, they went out and they fought and got that water. And that's the type of love that we should have for Christ. It shouldn't be out of duty that we serve Him, that we worship Him. It should be out of love that we go above and beyond. John 20, verse 29 says, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. I think about that. Pastor mentioned that those are who we are. We're the ones who haven't seen Christ, and we believe. You know, these men, they saw David. They talked with David. They were in his presence. And we don't have the physical part where we can see Christ, but we can still be in his presence. We get to know him through his word and through prayer. And so I love reading how these men, they do these awesome things. And so many times I feel like we undersell ourselves. Oh, we can't reach, you know, that level, that pinnacle that they're at. But we can through Christ. They were prepared to fight just like we should be. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Starting in verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. That's one thing, again, I noticed with young people, young males. The Bible says that the glory of a young man is his strength. And I don't see a lot of young men using their strength, you know, even if it's as simple as putting up the chairs when we're done with a fellowship. You know, take it upon yourself. If you see an adult doing, you know, lifting, run over, tell them, let me carry that for you. And if they say, no, I got it, then you make your trips twice as fast and you take a little bit more. That way they don't have to work as hard. You know, that's the young men. Use your strength. So be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The Bible says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to kneel. No, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. It stresses again, the whole armor, not just some of it, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Again, stand, stand, stand. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And a lot of times people stop there, but I want to read verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Not only should we have the armor of God, that's a daily thing we have to put on daily, but prayer as well. Getting that relationship with the Lord, you know. There's a lot of times with my job, I'm doing things I'm not comfortable with, I'm afraid, but I take that time, I pray. I'm like, God, protect me, give me some wisdom so I don't damage anything or hurt anybody. And I'm always so thankful that the Lord protects. So in order to be a good, a mighty man, we have to have faith, we have to pray. Another thing I saw with these men, you know, they meet David in the cave. He was already anointed the king. He just wasn't recognized yet. Well, we, right now, we're hanging out with the king, even though he's not accepted as king yet. And one day Jesus Christ will rule. You know, God keeps a record. I want to turn here to 1 Chronicles chapter 11. Here's another instance that we see these mighty men. And again, bear with me. We're going to read all these names. And it's easy to skip over this stuff when you're in your Bible time. But I'm telling you, read these names. They may be hard to say, but one thing I found that helps me get through them is looking up what the names mean. Yeah. And there's some really cool stuff here. And honestly, we know the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and we need to read all of it. So, 1 Chronicles chapter 11, starting in verse 10, These also are the chief of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom and with all Israel to make him king according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. And this is the number of the mighty men whom David had, Jashobeam and Hachmonite, the chief of the captains. He lifted up his spear against 300 slain by him at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, who was one of the three mighties. He was with David at Pasdamon, and there the Philistines were gathered together to battle. There was a parcel of ground full of barley, and the people fled from before the Philistines. And they set themselves in the midst of that parcel and delivered it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord saved them by a great deliverance. Now three of the 30 captains went down to the rock to David into the cave of Adullam, and the host of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in the hold, and the Philistines' garrison was then at Bethlehem. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem that is in the gate." And the three brake through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. But David would not drink of it, but poured it out to the Lord and said, "My God forbid it me that I should do this thing. Shall I drink the blood of these men that have put their lives in jeopardy? For with the jeopardy of their lives they brought it. Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mightiest." And Abishai, the brother of Joab, he was chief among the three. For lifting up his spear against 300, he slew them and had a name among the three. Of the three he was more honorable than the two, for he was their captain, howbeit he attained not to the first three. And then Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, which I want to mention out, there's a three kind of a generation thing here, which I think is awesome. That's one thing I would like to have for my child, because my dad has that legacy, who passed it on to me. And I want to give that so we all know that Jesus Christ is the King that we serve. And I want that to go down and have that godly lineage. But verse 22, he was the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel who had done many acts. He slew two lion-like men of Moab. Also, he went down and slew a lion in a pit in a snowy day. And he slew an Egyptian, a man of great stature. The Bible says 5 cubits high. And in the Egyptian's hand was a spear like a weaver's beam. And he went down to him with a staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand. And then I love this. And he slew him with his own spear. It's like adding insult to injury. He killed the guy with his own weapon. This is awesome. Verse 24. These things did Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and had the name among the three mighties. Behold, he was honorable among the 30, but attained not to the first three. And David set him over his guard. Also, the valiant men of the armies were Asahel, the brother of Joab, Elhanan, the son of Dodo of Bethlehem, Shamoth, the Hararite, Helez, the Pelionite, Ira, the son of Ikesh, the Tekoite, Abiezer, the Antothite, Sibaki, the Hushathite, Eliai, the Ahohite, Meharai, the Netophathite, Helad, the son of Benaha, the Netophathite, Ithai, the son of Ribai of Gibeah, that pertained to the children of Benjamin, Benaiah, the Perathonite, Hurai of the brooks of Gaash, Abiel, the Arbathite, Asmabeth, the Bahu. that's what we were taught in Bible college, to just pass through it. Behu, Rumite, Eliba, the Shalabonite, the sons of Hashem, the Gizanite, Jonathan, the son of Shagi, the Hararite, Ahiam, the son of Sakar, the Hararite, Eliphel, the son of Ur, Hefer, the Mekarathite, Ahijah, the Peleonite, Hezro, the Carmelite, Nearai, the son of Esbai, Joel, the brother of Nathan, Mibhar, the son of Hagirai, Zelek, the Ammonite, Nearai, the Barathite, the armor bearer of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, Ira the Ithrite, Gareb the Ithrite, Uriah the Hittite, Zabad the son of Ali, Adina the son of Shiza the Reubenite, a captain of the Reubenites, and 30 with him, Hanan the son of Maacah, the Josaphat the Mithnite, Uzziah the Ashtirathite, Shema and Jehiel, the sons of Hothan, the Aurorite, Jadiel, the son of Shimri, and Joha, his brother, the Tizite, Eliel, the Mehavite, and Jerbiah, and Joshabeah, the sons of Elnaam, and Ithma, the Moabite, Eliel, and Obed, Jashiel, the Masabite. There we go. And one thing I read as I was reading through all this, I noticed there was more names in this one than the first account. And David was taking more people unto himself. And I was thinking, that means there's still an opportunity that we can be mighty men for the Lord. He's still looking for mighty men. He doesn't just stop at 37. He wants more people to serve. And that was encouraging to me. You know, God keeps a record. I love how to see some of these men go on to be important men for even Solomon.
Right.
And, you know, when they first came, it kind of reminds me of Robin Hood. They were just the outlaws, and then they all rallied under Robin Hood. And then, you know, everything comes, and they have prominence now. And God took us, you know, as these pieces of clay, and through love, He's set there, molded us. The Bible says we are His workmanship,
right,
which we are His masterpiece. And, you know, David was able to do that with these men. And I look at how, if we allow the Lord to do that in our lives, we can be mighty. And one thing I noticed with all these men, we read these records of their physical strength and everything, but a lot of them are spiritual leaders. You know, another thing I think is interesting that isn't mentioned is their ages. You know, I don't know how old they were, and God doesn't care. He wants young and old to be mighty men for Him. So this is something that the Lord has laid on my heart. I want to see men, you know, and so I hope that this was an encouragement to everyone, and I want us to strive to be the type of men who aren't afraid to stand for the Lord, who can, who have faith, and they practice that faith. And what we see here, the Lord blessed that. There were several times the Lord said, the Bible says, and the Lord wrought a great victory, and they were able to spoil after that. It means they were able to take things for themselves. So it does pay to be in the Lord's service. He does take notice, and we will be blessed. So I'll turn it over to you.
We had a professor in Bible college who said, when you come to these, when you're reading, read it like you're looking for your name. Well, that sounds, every word, like you said, every word in the Bible is there for a reason. And and you think about how God took notice of these men enough to put them in the eternal Word of God. You know, obviously that's important. Father, I want to thank you for the opportunity to be reminded here today, and Lord, even the example in particular of Benaiah, and Lord, these Old Testament characters. Lord, I just pray that you would help us to understand, Lord, we live in a day when we're going to have an opportunity to take a stand, probably more than ever in our lifetimes, Lord. And I just pray that you would help us to be found faithful, Lord. Thank you for Brother Ethan and the time he put in to put this together here today. In Jesus' name, amen.